Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. Today is Friday, October 5th, and I'm bringing you all this weekend's action. First, going over what happened last night on Thursday Night Football, breaking it down for you the way I saw the game. Also, going over all the games coming up this weekend and Monday, and what are going to be the matchups to watch out for and the keys to victory. On Wednesday's show, I love the questions that you guys asked. I got a number of good questions. I know most of you I've emailed back already letting you know when you'd be on the show, so keep the questions coming. I appreciate them. Remember, questions go directly to stevethescout81@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at stevethescout81 or the Pro Football Scouting Podcast on Facebook. I am excited to break down this weekend's action. We're now at the time of the year where there's not as many football games to break down. Teams are on bye, so we're not seeing quite as many games on Sunday. So I'm going to break down what we have for you coming up. And again, letting you know who I think is going to win, what are the keys to victory, and matchups to watch out for. So looking at last night's game between the Colts and the Patriots, the Colts did not help Andrew Luck early on. They were not protecting him. He wasn't picking up the blitz, but they were not protecting him. And ultimately, it allowed the Patriots to get out to a 24-3 lead early on in that game. I thought overall Andrew Luck looked really good. He threw the ball really well. He just was a victim of pressure getting into his face and a number of guys just not getting separation and making catches. When you look at New England, they dialed up some great blitzes early in the game to keep Indianapolis off target. If you're a Patriots fan, you gotta love what you saw from Josh Gordon, because you legitimately, first time since Randy Moss, you really have a guy that can go downfield and win the jump ball matchup against two other defenders, and he showed he was able to do that. So it just adds another, just adds so much more versatility to that offense. We've all seen what Brady can do when he has a big number one receiver. James White got 13 targets last night. He has been an integral part of that offense. I really thought going into this year, what was going to make the Patriots really good was going to be their rushing offense, because I was always a big believer in Sonny Michel coming out of Georgia. He's looked really good so far his rookie campaign. James White's a great receiving back and a change of pace back, so they just have a lot of diversity between those two running backs in terms of how they use them, and they use them very wisely. Brady got good protection. He didn't get great protection. A lot of what he does is manipulate the line of scrimmage, which allowed him to make more of those bigger plays. But look, the Colts on defense, that's really, if you ask me, what made the game unwinnable for them. They just had too many guys coming into the game injured. They had a couple guys playing last night that had more snaps last night on defense than they had in their entire career. So because of that, it just made things a little more difficult. I'm still very high on Andrew Luck. I think he's looked really good since coming back. It hasn't been spoken about enough. Rookie guard Quentin Nelson's playing great. Their rookie linebacker, Darius Leonard has been sensational. He was their second round pick. So, I mean, overall, I mean, I really like what the Colts have done in the draft and what the rookies have shown. But yeah, the Colts still need more help. They needed it last night. Injuries was a big part of it. And with the Patriots having Julian Edelman back, you know, Josh Gordon over the top, James White in the screen game, getting it to Sonny Michel, and also you got Gronk. So, I mean, the Patriots legitimately have a lot more weapons. Andrew Luck's a very smart quarterback, but Brady is definitely more inept at what he does pre-play, which helped them win that game last night. So, I mean, it looks like the Patriots are back to their winning ways. I swear, every single time the Patriots ever get off to a slow start or there's an issue, people say, is this the beginning or the end? The beginning or the end? And every single beginning of the end. And every single time, people are wrong. So, no, it's not the beginning of the end. That offense looks as healthy as ever. I know they got off to a slow start, but this is legitimately a team that can go, that can get back to the Super Bowl this year. They're just that good. Really, really would not surprise me if New England and Jacksonville play each other again in the AFC Championship game. I think if you look at New England last week in their game against Miami, it was a good signal that the Patriots were back to being the Patriots and that they're going to be successful as they are every year in the league. And the first matchup I'm going to preview, I believe, is going to be a physical one. It's going to be the Denver Broncos visiting the New York Jets. Quite simply stated, what the Jets need to do if they're going to win this game is they have to stop Denver's rushing attack. Because when you look at Denver, what has made their offense a lot better this year? Number one, they've improved play on the offensive line. Number two, I think that they're using improved blocking schemes, and they're very effective with rookie running backs Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. Both of these guys hit the hole hard. Royce Freeman has been a load to take down, and Philip Lindsay, when you give him daylight, he is incredibly quick, hits the hole very fast. The Jets, you know, what they're going to need is they're going to need a good rush defense, so you're going to need big games from Leonard Williams, and Jamal Adams is going to have to keep that defense on point. Where the Jets are also going to be suffering is Trumaine Johnson is out. He is their number one cornerback, so you're going to need Darrell Roberts and Parry Nickerson, the guys that are probably going to be starting for the Jets on Sunday, to have big games, and they're going to need it because they're facing Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. Also, we're not sure if Quincy Enunwa is going to be playing. He's been the Jets' best receiver this year. Ultimately, I think this game comes down to this, is can the Jets ultimately stop the Broncos' rushing attack? And how will these young cornerbacks play? If the Jets get positivity from those two aspects of the game, I think they'll win. And if not, I like the Denver Broncos in this one. Packers taking on the Lions. And I'll tell you, Detroit's one of their biggest issues this year is they are not good in the red zone. Eric Ebron didn't play as well as what they had hoped, but they got to be missing him right now a little bit because they really don't have any good tight end help there in the red zone. Where I think the Lions can make an impact in this game is being more effective in the red zone. And what will help them with that is getting LeGarrette Blount back. He is now cleared to play Green Bay. Kerryon Johnson gave the Lions their first 100-yard rushing game in over 30 games just a few weeks ago. I think they're going to have a good rushing attack with both Blount and Kerryon Johnson because they're just not getting the help that they need in the red zone. Green Bay, they're getting good play from running back Aaron Jones. Jimmy Graham is starting to come into his own. You're starting to see them use him more in the red zone. If they can expand on that group and they can get Jimmy Graham more involved in the offense, not just in the red zone, I think it's going to bode very, very well for Green Bay. It's just going to be tough to beat them kicking field goals. It really is. So unless the Lions can play better in the red zone, I think they're going to have a very difficult time winning this one. And again, getting LeGarrette Blount back and having Kerryon Johnson so they're not just so one-dimensional just with Kerryon, I think will help with that a bit. They got to get that run game going. They got to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. If not, it's going to be a long day, especially the more they get Jimmy Graham involved in this offense. And the New York Giants will be traveling to Charlotte, North Carolina to take on the Panthers. It is this simple for the Giants. If they can get protection, they can win football games. If they can't get protection, they lose virtually every single game that they're in. Unfortunately, Carolina ranks third in the NFL in both points allowed and yards allowed the entire season. They have a great run defense led by Luke Kuechly, one of the smartest football players in the NFL, who's still playing at just as high of a level as he ever has at any point in his career. He's looked great through the first four games. What the Giants have tried to do is when they can't, you know, they'll always try to feed Saquon the ball some way. If he can't generate, you know, 100 yards rushing, then they try to get him 50, 60 yards from scrimmage receiving. But the Giants, they need to get 100 yards rushing with Saquon Barkley. When they're able to do that, they can win football games. But it just makes them too one-dimensional if they're not. I really like Carolina in this game. One thing that the Giants can look to expose is as good as Carolina's defense has been, they still have a very weak secondary outside of Jackson, who is their rookie cornerback. Outside of that, they really don't have much help in the secondary. The Giants can definitely look to expose those matchups with Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, and Odell Beckham. But ultimately, this game just favors Carolina because the Giants, they need to get a run game going. Carolina is one of the hardest teams to do it against. They're the third-ranked defense in the league considering the struggles the Giants have had on offense. It could be a long day for them, but ultimately, if the Giants can find a way to protect Eli Manning and they are able to do it at least somewhat against the Houston Texans, they can win this game. If not, Carolina is going to win this one, no questions asked. I'm a Giants fan, so hopefully it doesn't turn out that way, but I do think that Carolina right now, they are matched up better to win this game. And the Tennessee Titans are traveling to Buffalo to take on the Bills. Those Bills fans are absolutely crazy. If you see what they do every single week, they're going through tables, set on fire. They're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I have a feeling that whoever invented that whole fad with eating Tide Pods probably came out of Buffalo somewhere. Those fans are absolutely nuts. But looking at the actual matchup this week, both teams, the Titans and the Bills, have good front seven. And with those front sevens, both teams can penetrate the gaps with their defensive tackles. Defensive tackle for the Tennessee Titans, Jarrell Casey, is playing his best football ever. He has been as unblockable as about any defensive tackle in the NFL this year. If you let him line up with an inside shade, which means lining up on the inside shoulder, he is very tough to deal with because what he is very good at is splitting the guard and the tackle and penetrating that gap. He is going to be... They're going to have a tough time dealing with him. But on Buffalo's side of the ball, Harrison Phillips, Kyle Williams, those defensive tackles can penetrate as well. I think what the game really comes down to is the fact that Tennessee right now has the more functional offense. Buffalo's offense looked completely broken last week. It really, as much as I criticized Josh Allen coming into the draft, he didn't play his best, but a lot of that was really he wasn't getting help. And I think, you know, if they cannot protect Josh Allen this week, which they did not last week against Green Bay, there's no way Buffalo wins this game. And that's going to be a tough task to do because Tennessee is bringing in some young edge rushers with Harold Landry, Rashawn Evans. They got Ryan Kerrigan there. Also, Jarrell Casey can rush the passer. Ultimately, I think that's going to be just too much pressure on Josh Allen. So I like the Titans in this one. A matchup that I really want to see in this game is Tennessee Titans wide receiver Corey Davis going against Buffalo Bills cornerback Tre'Davious White. Both of those players are coming into their own. Corey Davis really looked good last week. And then if you look at Tre'Davious White, the guy just plays very sticky man-to-man coverage. I'm really going to want to see that matchup. But for the reasons I mentioned, I got to go with the Tennessee Titans in this one. And the Atlanta Falcons are traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. This one's going to be a very interesting one because both of these teams have two number one wide receivers on their team. They got Julio Jones and Antonio Brown, arguably the two best in the game. I'm sure other guys like Odell Beckham, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, they're in that conversation of top receivers as well. But if you look at what Pittsburgh has had from Juju Smith-Schuster, And what Calvin Ridley has done for the Atlanta Falcons, look, both teams have two true number one wide receivers. Both quarterbacks have great chemistry with these receivers right now. Both teams are a liability in coverage, so I expect this to be a very high scoring game. The biggest thing that I think is hurting Atlanta's defense is not having Deion Jones there. Deion Jones, their middle linebacker, has been extraordinary in coverage. He is on injured reserve. That has made things a lot harder for their defense. Ultimately, the matchups really suggest this is going to be a very high-scoring game. When I compare the two defenses, still I think Atlanta has the better defense. They seem to get more stops when I think Matt Ryan is going to be on the field more than Ben Roethlisberger, and as good as Roethlisberger's chemistry has been with those receivers, Matt Ryan is playing at an MVP level. I know they don't have the record to show for it. I know we're getting huge stats from Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes, but Matt Ryan has looked absolutely great. He had a shaky first week. They looked out of sync the first week, but ever since then, the Falcons offense has been pretty hard to stop. I like them in this one, not by too much because I think it's going to be a high scoring game. But I think ultimately Atlanta is going to make more stops on the defensive side of the ball. Both quarterbacks are great, but I think Atlanta has the better one. I like the Falcons in this one. There is no love loss here. The Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns, their fan bases do not like each other. Cleveland is going to be hosting Baltimore this week. When I look at this game, first of all, I got to look at the Cleveland Browns and the Ravens. Who's going to win the line of scrimmage battle? I think clearly it favors the Ravens. Baker Mayfield is going to face something different than what he's faced before. He has not played a middle linebacker that has the range and ability of C.J. Mosley, a guy that can also drop back in coverage. Also, with them having Eric Weddle there, it's really going to take away a lot of what they can do in the middle of the field. So Baker is going to have to roll out, make more plays, and it's going to be tough because the Ravens now have cornerback Jimmy Smith back, who has been their number one corner. He's come back. I know Jarvis Landry is still dealing with some injury issues. But I just think when you look at the line of scrimmage battle here, it favors Baltimore. Baltimore's got the better defensive line. They can deal with what Cleveland is going to bring in terms of a pass rush. And when you look at Cleveland and what they have up front with their offensive line, I think they may have a harder time than anticipated keeping Baker Mayfield clean. What is great about Baker is he extends plays and he gets the ball out of his hand very quickly. Really, if not for one screw up by the referees last week, they would have won that game. But I just think looking at the line of scrimmage battle, plus seeing what Baker Mayfield is going to be facing, and he hasn't faced a middle linebacker and a pass rusher like this before. I definitely like the Ravens in here, but the Browns fight. They definitely play with a lot of heart. Wouldn't surprise me if they won, and if they're going to have a chance of staying in this division race, that they are going to have to beat the Ravens this week because the Ravens are 3-1. The Browns are 1-2-1. So I like Baltimore in this one. Browns are definitely going to have to find a way to start winning some football games. The Cincinnati Bengals are going to be hosting the Miami Dolphins. And I'm telling you that I like the Bengals in this matchup, and I'll tell you why. First of all, just like the Atlanta Falcons, the Bengals have a highly functioning offense right now. That coordinator and Andy Dalton, they are spreading that ball around. If you look at the Bengals offense historically over the last several years, it's been Andy Dalton and his connection to A.J. Green. That is what the offense has been built around. Now, it's not so much just about that. They're spreading the ball around. They're getting great play from Tyler Boyd. They have some rough patches to deal with not having Tyler Eifert and John Ross available. But when you look at what they've been able to do with Tyler Boyd, also what Cincinnati's been able to do with that running attack. Joe Mixon has not been there, so Giovanni Bernard, in his absence, has played exceptionally well. Now Giovanni Bernard is going to be out 2 to 4 weeks, and now you're going to see Joe Mixon back in action. I think Joe Mixon is going to be ultimately the difference maker for them this week. And looking at Miami's offense, what they've been able to do to be successful is they've taken the big shots downfield, and they've done a lot of trick plays, and I don't know if that's something that you can win with week in and week out. I like the Cincinnati Bengals in this one. I think right now they're the better football team, and I think it stays that way. I like the Bengals in this one. The matchup I am certainly most excited for is going to be watching the Kansas City Chiefs offense, the best offense in the NFL, going against the NFL's best defense in the Jacksonville Jaguars. Look, this is a huge game, and if Jacksonville cannot slow down Kansas City's offense, there is no defense in the NFL that can. And that is a scary thing because so far, no one's been able to stop that Kansas City offense. Tyreek Hill has been completely uncoverable. When you have a guy that can run a 4.25 40, the fastest guy in the NFL, can run the full route tree and can kill you deep, not only with beating you deep, but also with taking great angles on catches over the middle and taking it to the house. This is a matchup that I really want to see. Jalen Ramsey, Tyreek Hill, that is gonna be a good one to watch. Patrick Mahomes, he has not faced a defense like this yet. I think he's gonna have to rely a lot on Travis Kelce over the middle. This is a tough one for me. I think at some point Kansas City has got to lose, and at some point someone has to prove that there is a defense in the NFL that can slow them down. I think Jacksonville is the team to do it. I like them in this one, but man, this is a good one and really could go either way. This week, the Oakland Raiders traveled to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. I like the Chargers in this one, and I'll tell you why. Chargers, that offensive line is playing good. That offense, Phillip Rivers, look, this is, I don't care what anyone says. To me, Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback. You look at Big Ben, you look at Eli, you look at Phillip Rivers. I think no doubt, in my opinion, over the course of their career, Phillip Rivers has been the best of these three quarterbacks. But Phillip Rivers right now, he's playing exceptional football. They got playmakers in Mike Williams. They're big 6'4", 6'5" receiver they drafted in the first round last year. Keenan Allen does tons of damage, gets great separation, and they got Melvin Gordon in the backfield, and that Chargers offensive line has been able to protect Phillip Rivers. And since Oakland has lost Khalil Mack, they have not been able to get after the passer. I love what I'm seeing out of rookie Arden Key. I think he's going to be a stellar player in this league. But outside of that, they just don't have enough firepower to get to Phillip Rivers and slow down this offense. I like the Chargers in this one because of that. One thing that the Chargers are going to have to watch out for is defending Jared Cook. Derek Carr has been feeding tight end Jared Cook the ball quite a bit this season. So if they can take away that aspect of the game, it's going to be even tougher. I think Casey Hayward's going to lock down whoever he faces, whether it's, you know, Michael Crabtree or Amari Cooper. I definitely like the Chargers in this one. The matchups face them better. They're going to win this game in the trenches. I like the Los Angeles Chargers over the Oakland Raiders. And we got a rematch of last year's NFC Championship game. Same stadium, too. The Minnesota Vikings are traveling to Philadelphia for a rematch with the Philadelphia Eagles. And looking at both of these teams, have way underachieved so far this year. I think everyone expected both of these teams to get off to much better starts. The Vikings' record is 1-2-1. The Eagles are 2-2. Why has it been that way? Well, the Vikings' defense has played overwhelmingly bad. Coming into this year, some people were saying they are the best defense in the NFL, and they have not even looked close to that this year. Yeah, they don't have Everson Griffin up front. He's still out. He has those legal issues going on. But when you look at their entire defense, they've been way underachieving. I'm looking for the Vikings this weekend to finally make a statement and say our defense is still legit. And if they can do it against a team like Philadelphia, that's pretty good, because Philadelphia, Carson Wentz is going to start to settle into his own. What has cost Philadelphia some games in the last week is their offensive line has not been playing as good as it should have been. They got Jason Kelce there at center. They have Lane Johnson at right tackle. Both of those guys had trouble last week. Jason Kelce had a lot of trouble with Jarrell Casey, and Lane Johnson had quite a bit of trouble with Harold Landry. Both teams really need this victory badly. I would say the Vikings needed a little bit more. But I like Minnesota in this one. I think they're going to be in a little bit of a desperation mode right now. Kirk Cousins has been worth every penny. Minnesota has the better receivers. I hope their defense steps up this weekend, and I think Minnesota is going to win this one. But man, it's going to be a close one. And you got the Seattle Seahawks taking on the Los Angeles Rams. I know it's the NFL. I know anything can happen. But to me, this is close to an unwinnable game for the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson has been under duress a lot of the season, and when you look at the Rams, that defensive line's coming into its own. Aaron Donald is playing like Aaron Donald, and Dominican Sue is generating a lot of pressure. Russell Wilson has been forced out of the pocket a lot this year, and I don't think that's going to change going up against this defensive line. Also, when you look at the Seahawks last week, they were 0-10 on third downs. They can run the ball effectively, but that's going to be very, very limited against this defense. Seattle's also without Earl Thomas. The Legion of Boom is just not there anymore. It's literally not there. Chancellor, Thomas, Sherman, they're all gone. With what Los Angeles is going to be able to do with spreading out the ball, I just don't see a way that they're going to win this one. You got to hope Bobby Wagner steps up big and can do a great job, at least somewhat trying to control Todd Gurley. But the matchups in this one, especially in the trenches, they favor Los Angeles. I like them in this one. And also, when you look at on the offensive side of the ball, and we're looking at the Los Angeles Rams, they are protecting Jared Goff. Andrew Whitworth, in my opinion, has been the best left tackle in the NFL this year. They're getting good protection all over that line. I think that side of the ball, they're also going to win in the trenches. This is just a hard one for Seattle. I definitely like the Rams in this one. One of my favorite offenses to watch in the NFL is the San Francisco 49ers offense by Kyle Shanahan. He has got that offense functioning at a high level right now. CJ Beathard, I think a lot of people, including myself, were really doubtful that he would be able to run Kyle Shanahan's offense effectively, but that offense still looked potent last week. George Kittle has been a huge factor. He's the San Francisco 49ers' tight end, and they've just continued to be creative in their play calling. Matt Breida is the leading rusher in the NFL, and just looking at the Cardinals, I think Josh Rosen, he's still coming into his own. He had some big misses last week. He's showing you stuff. I mean, I didn't have many doubts that Josh Rosen would turn into a good NFL quarterback, and I think he's going to. But right now, C.J. Beathard to me seems a lot more comfortable in that offense than Josh Rosen seems in his. If the Cardinals want to win, Josh Rosen's gonna need a big game. You're gonna need a big game from David Johnson. But right now, the more functioning offense is still San Francisco, and I predict they will beat the Arizona Cardinals this weekend. And we got the Houston Texans taking on the Dallas Cowboys. This game to me comes down to two things. Number one, how does Dallas contain Deshaun Watson, and how does Houston contain Ezekiel Elliott? Because the Texans, they can get after the quarterback, but their run defense, not so good. So they got to make Zeke an integral part of this game. I think the offense completely runs through him this week. And in terms of the Cowboys defense, I said their defense coming into the NFL this year would be much improved. They got a great front seven. That front seven is playing well. What they really need to do is they need to keep Deshaun Watson in the pocket. Because outside the pocket, when you allow him to make plays, he's been absolutely lethal these past few weeks. I know he looked very shaky his first week, but he's really starting to look like the quarterback that we saw in his rookie year last year. I got to say that I like Dallas in this one. I think they're going to give it to Zeke. I think he's going to be able to control the game with running the ball. That's how they win it. I like the Cowboys here, but ultimately it really does come down to that. If the Texans defense, if they do a better job at containing Ezekiel Elliott than the Cowboys defense does of containing Deshaun Watson, those to me are absolutely the keys to victory for this game. But I think when you look at those matchups, I like Dallas because Dallas's defense, they're really good in that front seven. They're a defense that can contain quarterbacks. And as good as the Houston Texans pass rush is, I don't know if they have the ability to beat Ezekiel Elliott running the football. Ending things with the Monday night matchup in New Orleans. The Washington Redskins are traveling to New Orleans to take on the Saints. I like the Saints in this one, and I'll tell you why. Alex Smith just doesn't have enough around him right now. They don't have a Michael Thomas in their side. Yes, they do have a Jordan Reed, which is great. But outside of that, the Redskins really are not giving Alex Smith a lot of receiving help. I think a big key to victory for the Redskins this week is to make this game about Adrian Peterson, because you don't want to get into a shootout with Drew Brees. I think Alex Smith is way more capable of doing well in a shootout with Drew Brees than people think of, but you don't want to engage in that. You want to keep Alvin Kamara, you want to keep Drew Brees and Michael Thomas off the field. Adrian Peterson gives you the best option to do that. I do think the Redskins have the better defense, but with the Saints being at home and the amount of weapons they have compared to what the Redskins have, I like the Saints in this one. But with Washington's defense, you got to watch out for it. Ryan Kerrigan, Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, all these guys are big-time players, but I don't think it's going to be enough to stop New Orleans. I do like the Saints on Monday Night Football this week. So that wraps up everything for my Week 5 preview. Join me back on Sunday night when I break down all of Sunday's action, including Sunday Night Football. This is Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. Talk to you guys on Sunday. Enjoy the action.
And so it was spoken that the undisputed king of detailed player analysis gave you his Week 5 picks. This story is now written in stone, and Steve the Scout has left the building. Farewell to all.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.